Listening to WAIF Cincinnati, your favorite listener-supported radio station at 88.3 FM on your dial and online live streaming at WAIF883.org. That intro music was Faith Rivera, God Is, one of my favorite songs. WAIF, WAIF, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airways to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect those of WAIF, its board of trustees, staff, or programmers. The opinions expressed on this program are my own views or those of my guest. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am an interfaith and metaphysical minister, and I'm your host every Wednesday. Our show is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. It's really a show focused on spirituality and personal growth because that's my passion. I believe that we have a divine birthright to be filled with joy and love and peace and beauty. And so that's what I dedicate this show to every week, is giving us really practical ways, really uplifting and inspiring ways, hopefully, to actually begin living that inner divinity in our own lives every day. And what we're about here is really tapping into the power and the beauty and the divine love that animates every form of life that exists, including mine or yours. And what we're really wanting to figure out how to do, I think so many people, is how to have that experience of God inside of themselves, to feel the power of that and the blessing of that. And when we really welcome that connection with that divine source, then we begin to wake up to the beauty in life, to the glory in life, and we look at every week practical ways to actually live happier, more peaceful lives, to actually reclaim the vitality that I believe is our birthright, and it comes from living our deepest truth. And so what we're really focused on here is personal growth, spiritual growth, a way to really connect with that God inside each and every one of us, because that's my personal passion, is to live in that state of unconditional love, that state of peace and bliss that comes when I know and I can feel God alive inside of me. And so my intention always is to inspire you to find ways to touch that and live that inner peace and that vitality that's inside of you, so that you can have a more consistent awareness and experience of the wholeness of the aliveness that I think is God's gift to us. And so today what we're talking about is healing our lives. What that means, how it happens, what makes it not happen, what we can do to actually allow healing to happen. I would also like to tell you about underwriting here on WAIF. Do you have a business that you would like to underwrite on WAIF? We offer very cost-friendly rates. We can target your underwriting to any show that you choose. Call one of our underwriting experts today at 513-351-1538 or 513-226-5585 and find out how you can get your business information to our listeners. The cost of underwriting is very affordable. WAIF will help you reach our community with your message. We are talking today about healing. What is it? What does it mean? How do we do it? Why do we resist it? What does it take? And I was running around looking for all these different reference materials because I've read thousands of books about healing and have done hundreds, if not more, than that over the years, attempting to heal myself and to assist other people in healing. And so I was running around trying to gather all these different reference materials to give some credence to the idea that we can heal ourselves. Actually, I don't think we heal ourselves. I think God heals us. But because we have free will, we allow ourselves to be healed or we don't. And so after I had gathered all these different books and all these different sources, I remembered this little book written by Louise Hay. And the book is called You Can Heal Your Life. It was published the first time in 1984. Before that, she had written a little book called Heal Your Body, and that was in 1976. And there are thousands, if not millions, of people. Actually, You Can Heal Your Life has definitely sold over a million copies. And there are millions of people throughout the world who have used the principles in this book to heal themselves. And so I'm really going to be using a lot out of that book sort of as just a guideline to talk about all these other references that I had looked up instead of carrying all that with me. But I want to say a couple of things before we get started in that. Healing, whether it's a physical problem, a mental problem, an emotional problem, whether you're reading in the Christian Bible or whether you're reading, you know, in any other faith tradition throughout the world, or tribal traditions throughout the world, or a lot of the teachers that are on the planet today, pretty much they all say the same thing. And I'm just going to use Jesus' words because they were so simple. It's about faith. Faith, by your faith, you are healed. It really comes down to that. But for a lot of people, in my experience as, you know, a counselor for 30 years, people either don't have faith or don't even know what faith is and don't know how to get it and don't even know what to have faith in. Because what I've noticed in many years of working with people who were struggling either emotionally or spiritually, and I work more with people who have a lot of spiritual questions and are trying to make that connection with Source inside of them more clear and to use that as a way to heal themselves, because like me, they've discovered that's a much faster path for healing than just working through the body or through the mind. Because what I discovered a long time ago is that every issue that we have, whether that is a stubbed toe or cancer or bipolar disorder, or addiction, whatever, every issue that we have, as far as I can tell, is actually spiritual in nature, meaning that there is a spiritual root to that issue. And if we can get to that spiritual root and clear it, heal it, then the physical or emotional or mental problem that we had, it doesn't have a foundation anymore, and so it goes away. And so I just want to give you a couple of examples of how there are so many paths and so many different ways to heal. We can approach healing from a physical perspective. We can approach it from an emotional perspective. We can approach it from a mental perspective. Or we can approach it from a spiritual perspective. Because every issue that we have probably has components of each and every one of those things, especially if it's shown up as a physical problem. It most definitely has an emotional, a mental, and a spiritual root to it, because nothing really shows up in the physical unless it has all those other layers that it's already gone through first. Because if we deal with things on a spiritual level, it never actually winds up showing up as a mental or emotional or a physical problem. Of course, I'm not talking about, you know, if we got radiation poisoning or we ate a poison plant or, you know, we got shot. That's different. That is something external happening to us. I'm talking about illness that shows up in the body. It's been shown over and over and over that most of the time, illness shows up in the body because of a problem with our connection with God, or if for those who don't know how to even think about their connection with God, We can talk about it as a problem with our thinking. And so this book that Louise Hay wrote in 1984 that has saved millions of people. I've read so many, really literally thousands of testimonies by people who have used the material in this book. And it has cured them of various things. And I know myself, when I was finally getting off drugs in 1987, I had been addicted to so many different drugs, and I had actually managed to clear myself of all the addictions except for marijuana, and I just could not seem to give up marijuana. That was the hardest one for me to let go of, because I think not only had I been doing it longer than anything else, but I had been doing it constantly for like 20 years. And I really didn't think I could live without it. I had a belief that I couldn't live without it. And because I had that belief, then it was true for me. I couldn't imagine myself living without it. And so I actually used a guided meditation that Louise Hay made that came from this book, You Can Heal Your Life, where one side was a meditation that you listened to while you went to sleep at night, and the other side was just some information that you listened to when you woke up in the morning that reminded you how to start thinking differently. And, you know, listening to that actually got me to a place where I could quit using marijuana, and I was able to quit using it successfully, and that was in 1987. Thank you, God. So I'm telling you things that I know work. The other thing I want to tell you, if you're working on physical things, there have been books written for a long, long time, and there continue to be more books written today that will tell you how you cure any physical thing. The one that I think of immediately is a book called There Is a Cure for Arthritis. It was actually written in 1968, and unfortunately I cannot remember the name of the person who wrote it, but that is the name of it. There Is a Cure for Arthritis. And I know about that book because I lived briefly with my mother in the mid to late 70s, and every morning she would be in tears because her hands were so swollen and her body was so stiff from arthritis, and she was just really quite miserable with it. And I went and researched, what do you have to do to cure arthritis? Because I already knew by that point that we have been given the power. We have been given everything we need on this earth to heal anything that could possibly be wrong with us. That's a promise from God. And I had already figured that out and knew that and was trying to figure out how to live that for myself. And so I found this book, There Is a Cure for Arthritis. Because my mom was who she is, I knew if I just told her about it, it wouldn't do any good. So what I did is I took a $50 bill and I laid the book and the $50 bill down on the table. And I said, you know, Mom, I bet you $50 that if you read this book and do what it says, that in 3 months your arthritis will be at least 50% better. Well, Betty, she couldn't pass up a dare. So she took it, and 2 weeks later, she came and put $100 down on my dresser and said, why didn't you tell me about this a long time ago? She said, I'm 80% better already. And do you know, from that day forward, my mom never really had any problems with arthritis. She had rheumatoid arthritis. It runs very severely in her side of the family. I was actually diagnosed with it when I was a teenager. I can't remember what age. And I really have very few symptoms of it because I have been practicing what it said in that book since I found the book and told my mom about it. And so from then until she left this world 6 or 8 years ago, she did not have any problems with rheumatoid arthritis. Just because she did a few simple things that are in that book, and I'm not going to try to tell you what they are, but I'm telling you about this so that you know that there is an answer. We have the answers available, and because we are beings of free will, we have to find those answers, and we have to decide that we're going to use them, and that's how we heal. Another time, I was playing around with massage, learning how to do massage, and learning how to do foot reflexology, and my mom had a pretty severe case of hemorrhoids, and I can only tell you about this because she has left the planet. Otherwise, she would probably kill me for saying that on the air. But regardless, she had had this very severe problem for many years and had been considering surgery for a really long time. And when I learned how to do reflexology, there is a treatment in reflexology to cure that problem. And I did that with her, and I only did it 3 times. And they were completely gone. She was completely healed. It made her a complete and total believer in reflexology. So another thing that I want to say before we get into how you can do this for yourself, and again, I'm just giving you some ideas here of how healing is possible when you have faith that it is, and you're willing to use your will to discover what it is that will heal you and then do it. And it doesn't really matter whether you start on a physical level, an emotional level, a mental level, or a spiritual level. Whatever works for you is the place for you to start. There's just been this new study published that I thought was really beautiful, and it's about Tai Chi. And for those of you who don't have a clue what that is, it's a form of martial arts, but it's a very slow, balanced, very low impact movement. And it's not about ever attacking. It's more a meditative practice. But they have, in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, they did a study. I mean, they published a study that had been done with 120 healthy older people. And they did Tai Chi 3 times a week for 40 weeks. And in the ones that did that, not only was there an increase in the brain volume, which is really what they think is the problem with Alzheimer's, that as we age, the volume of the brain shrinks, and that has a lot to do, that is correlated strongly with the problem called Alzheimer's disease. And so doing Tai Chi 3 times a week, they did the MRIs, and they discovered that after 40 weeks, there was a significant increase in brain volume, as shown by the MRIs. There were also significant improvements on memory test and on learning test compared to the control group of normal, healthy people who were not doing the Tai Chi. And so I just tell you those real sort of practical, everyday world things so that you get the idea. Healing is happening for lots of people all over the world, from cancer to all kinds of things. People have discovered what you might call natural cures. I know I've done it for myself. I've healed cancer of my own. I've watched and I've seen and I've helped other people heal cancer, heal Crohn's disease, heal Lyme's disease, bleeding ulcers, depressions. It's like everything is healable. That is the promise that we've been made. But it's our choice, really, to make that happen. It's our choice to decide that we're going to do something about it. And so what I've noticed in all these years is that some people heal and some don't. And so what's the difference? You know, healing endometriosis, and I told that story once on the radio already, so I won't do that again, other than to say in the late 70s, early 80s, a friend and I healed a very severe case of endometriosis that I was getting ready to go into surgery for by discovering what it was that was held in my subconscious that had triggered it, and then clearing that, we used literally 3 sentences, cleared it, and it was healed completely, literally gone from 1 minute to the next. And that's really what started me on this journey of understanding that it's what's held in our mind, whether consciously or unconsciously. It's that programming that's held in our mind that runs our life. And since then, I've done a lot of work with head injury and studied the brain. And what I know from neurology is that only 5% of what goes on inside of us are we aware of. 95% of what's going on inside of us is unconscious. That means it's running our life and we don't even know it. And so that's what I've devoted my life to, is figuring out what is that programming that's creating this illness or this depression or this problem in my life, and how do I change it? I'm going to tell you one more story before we take a little break here. And this was an elderly woman that I was working with, and beautiful woman. Her name was Stella, and Stella, probably 80 something, and her husband of 60 years had just died. And until her husband of 60 years had died, even though she was really old and she was hunched over and she worked really hard and he was a real handful to take care of the last couple of years, Stella was basically healthy. Within 3 months of when her husband died, Stella developed pancreatic cancer. Well, I had done some work with her granddaughter, and I had met Stella actually when I had married her granddaughter and her husband. And when she developed this pancreatic cancer, she told her granddaughter, "I don't want to do what those doctors are saying because I don't want to be sick. Call Louisa. Let's see if there's anything she can do." Well, there was no way I could talk to Stella about the kinds of stuff I do because it was so far outside her realm of experience. But nonetheless, I went and spent time with Stella, and we prayed, and we did some work together. And what I discovered is that Stella had a belief that now that her husband was gone, she didn't have any reason to be here anymore, and that pancreatic cancer was a really quick way to die, and so it seemed like the thing to do. It was so amazing to me to hear this very uneducated, unsophisticated woman. She had never heard this theory anywhere. She was just telling me what her thoughts were and her experience was. And it took a while for her to put words to it. But that was what was going on with her underneath, is that, well, if my husband's gone, I don't really have any reason to be here anymore, so it must be time to die. And she knew enough to know that pancreatic cancer was a sure death sentence, and it happened very quick. And so, you know, she changed that belief. And I did a lot of other sorts of healing work with Stella, but to this day, I personally believe that her pancreatic cancer went away because she changed her belief about it. And so that's what we're going to be talking about here today, is how do we know what beliefs are causing what's going on with us, and how do we change that? And you know what? It is simpler than you think. It just takes practice like anything else. I know you can do it because I've done it, and I've watched lots and lots of people do it. And if we can do it, then I know you can do it too. You are listening to WAIF Cincinnati 88.3 FM and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. And the show is really about inspiring each and every one of us to reconnect with that God spark that lives inside of us, to know that that's the answer to whatever our problem is. Because when we can tap into that beauty and that peace and that joy, that's our divine birthright. It lives in each and every one of our hearts. And I know it lives in your heart, just like it lives in mine, because if it weren't there, you wouldn't be alive. You would be what we call dead. And if you've ever sat with someone whose body was, you know, getting ready to die, and you've watched that spirit leave, you can tell when the spirit leaves the body, the body's dead. It's like you can tell from one moment to the next. It's that spirit that I'm talking about. That is God inside of you. And I know it's inside of you because you're walking around, because you're walking and talking and breathing. And so every week our show focuses on some practical aspect of tapping into and living from that source of divine energy inside of us. And today we are specifically talking about how to heal our lives and giving some really tried and true ways of healing and some stories about people who have healed everything from severe physical illnesses to incredible emotional and mental disabilities, as well as addictions. Because I think it's really important for us to hear other people's stories, because then that gives us a reason to hope, and hopefully it gives us a reason to have faith, because that's really what it takes to heal. Jesus said it in the Bible over and over and over. By faith ye are healed. And that's really what it takes. And we're going to talk about how do you find that? How do you create that? What do you do until you have some faith? Because I know for a lot of us, we just don't have it. And we don't know how to get it. But you know what? Faith is a decision. Trust, now trust is something different. But faith is a decision. And you make a decision and you act on it. And pretty soon you have evidence of it. And that, in my opinion, is where faith comes from. When Jesus was asked about all the healing and raising of the dead and turning water into wine that he did, basically what he said was, you can do that. You know, he said, this too and more you can do. It's about faith. It's about knowing that God is inside of you. That kingdom of heaven lives within you. And so through the 2,000 years since Jesus, a lot of things have been written and a lot of things are now tried and true in terms of healing. And so some of the things that I've come to know that are necessary in order for me to facilitate my own healing or to help other people with their healing is to understand some basic points. One is that we are each 100% responsible for all of our experiences. That does not mean we created everything. You know, there is God, there is nature, there is life, there's the reality of reality. So when people say you create your own reality, a lot of times my question back to them is, what about the reality of reality? You did not create everything that happened because, you know, you're not that big. That's an arrogant sort of statement. However, we are 100% responsible for what we experience. That's very different. And so what that means really is, if I have a bad attitude, then I'm probably going to have an experience that reflects that bad attitude. If I have a positive attitude, I'm going to have more experiences that reflect that positive attitude. So we are each 100% responsible for what we experience. The other thing that's important to understand if you want to heal yourself is that every thought you think is creating your future. So if you're having awful, dreadful, terrible thoughts, then that's what your future is going to consist of, is more of that same awful, dreadful, terrible stuff. Because it's through what our minds are thinking that creates what we experience internally, and what we experience internally is what creates what we experience out externally. The point of power is always in the present moment. That means that because of this divine birthright, this divinity that's inside of us, that is God-given, we have the power in every single moment to make a new decision, to use our personal will, to become aligned with our spiritual will, and we can decide to walk a new path. Every human on the planet suffers from self-hatred and guilt. And the bottom line pretty much for everybody is, I'm not good enough. Now, whether you know that unconsciously or consciously makes a difference. Some of us think consciously we're great, we're super. But unconsciously, the patterning that we learned in early childhood that's still driving a lot of what's going on in our lives, that bottom line, unconscious thinking, if we have any illness, if we have any problems, then we can know that underneath them is that unconscious thought, or it might even be a conscious thought, of I'm not good enough. But you know what? The good news is that it's only a thought, and a thought can be changed. That is the power that we have inside of us through the divine that lives inside each and every one of us, that we are more than our thoughts. Thought is just the mental realm of things. We are divine. We are eternal. The body's not eternal. The thoughts are not eternal. Those are temporary. Those change from moment to moment. But life is eternal. And that divine spark inside of us, that's what makes life eternal, because that is what eternity is that divinity, that call that God, call that life itself, call that the source energy of the universe. It doesn't matter whether you have a religious connotation with it or not. What matters is that you know that you have that power in the core of your being, and that it is bigger and way more powerful than any thought that you have, and any thought can be changed. The most damaging patterns, in other words, what creates illness, disease, accidents, what creates our misery, are basically three things: resentment, criticism, and guilt. I would actually add shame, which is kind of what all those together adds up to. Those are damaging patterns, and almost every human carries that, if not in their conscious mind, in their subconscious and in their body. Releasing resentment will dissolve disease, even cancer. This has been shown over and over and over again. When we really love ourselves, everything in our life works. Now, we're going to talk a lot more about that today, what that means to really love ourselves. But when we do, everything in our life works. What we have to do is we have to release the past and forgive, first of all, ourselves, but then everyone. We must be willing to begin to love ourselves enough to let the past go, to forgive ourselves, to forgive everyone, because that is what sets us free. Self-approval and self-acceptance right now, those are the keys to positive change. It's my belief that we consciously or unconsciously create every so-called illness that's in our bodies. And so I believe that because of many years of experience of being able to heal various things going on in my body just by changing what I was thinking and watching other people do that as well. So it's really very simple. Whether you talk about the golden rule, which everybody knows the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's really sort of the basic principle of all life. That life is really that simple. What we give out, we get back. It's like what we think about ourselves becomes the truth for us. Every thought we think is creating our future. Every one of us creates our experiences by our thoughts and our feelings. We create situations and then we give power away by blaming other people or things for our frustration. But really and truly, no other person or place or thing, it doesn't have any power over us. We are the only thinkers in our mind. And so when we create peace and harmony and balance in our own minds, that's when we find it in our lives. What we believe about ourselves and about life, that's what becomes true for us. And the universe can't help but totally support us in whatever it is we are thinking or feeling. And what I mean by that is that the subconscious mind, what is happening underneath our conscious awareness inside of us, it accepts whatever we choose to believe. And much of that we actually were imprinted with before we were 5 years old, and we don't even remember what it was. I can find out what it is now, and I can change it if I don't like how it's manifesting in my life. But what you choose to think about yourself and about life, it actually becomes true for you. And thankfully, we can choose what we want to choose. We have unlimited choices about what we can think. And when we actually know this, then it makes sense to choose a thought like, everyone is always helpful, instead of continuing to think people are out to get me. Because if you keep thinking people are out to get me, then guess what? They're going to keep doing that, because you're creating that by what you're thinking. It's an internal reality for you, and your external experience is a reflection of your internal reality. That's why Jesus said so clearly, that by your faith ye are healed. There's a scripture, if I can actually find it, where Jesus is talking about, and I don't do a lot of talk about Jesus, for most of you people know that, but where Jesus is talking about, it's not what you put in your body, it is it's what comes out of your mouth. Oh, you know what? I think I found it. It's actually in Mark 7:14. Jesus said, when he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. What comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And all these evil things come from within and defile a man. And he spends a lot of time right there talking about it's not what happens outside that's causing your problems. It's what's happening inside that's causing all the problems that we have. And so the way through that is to change what's going on inside of ourselves. When we're really little, that's when we learn how to feel about ourselves and about life. And we do that by the reactions of the adults around us. So much of what's going on inside of us, we're not even really consciously aware that it's there, because it got imprinted into us when we were very young and we didn't have any filters. So if we lived with people who were unhappy or frightened or guilty or angry or shameful, then we learned a lot of negative things about ourselves and about our world. Beliefs like this can really cause a very painful, frustrating life, because when we grow up, mostly what we do is recreate that emotional environment of our early home life. It's not good or bad, it's just the way it is. We tend to create in our personal relationships the relationships we had with our mother or our father or our families in some way or the other. We also tend to treat ourselves the way our parents treated us until we learn how to do that better. But, you know, it's not reasonable to blame our parents, because they were just doing what they were taught to. If they had known any better how to do what they were doing, they would have done better. Because we're all doing the best that we can. So this is not about punishing yourself or blaming yourself or blaming anybody else for that matter. Everybody's always doing the best that they can do. And so what I'm attempting to do on this show is to tell you how to do even better than that. Because you deserve it. You're divine. You have the power inside of you. How do I know that? Because you wouldn't be walking around otherwise. The point of power is always in this present moment. Everything you've experienced in your life up until this point has brought you to right here. However, everything that's in the past, it's done. It's over. It's done with. What's important right now is what you're choosing to believe and to think and to say and to feel in this moment. But that's what's creating your future. That's what's creating our experience of tomorrow and next week and next year. So what are you thinking right now? Is it negative or is it positive? Do you want this thought that you're thinking right now? Do you want that to be creating your future? Just notice and be aware. This is not about self-criticism. This is about just becoming aware that all we're ever dealing with is a thought. And thank God we are more powerful than that, and a thought can be changed. That is really the point of power, and that's really what we're talking about here. And so I'm actually looking at this book that Louise Hay wrote that I was talking about earlier, You Can Heal Your Life. And this book has sold many millions of copies all around the world, because it is effective. And I'm going to give you a lot of ways that you can put into practice this power that you have that I call inner divinity, or I call the God spark within. Your power, because of this divinity inside of you, is so much more than any thought. One positive thought has been said to be 100 times more powerful than any negative thought. So it doesn't matter where you've been or where you are. The point of power is right now in this present moment. The first thing to do is just to decide that you're going to change. What I mean by that is, instead of thinking, ah, it's hopeless, it's impossible, I can't make a difference anyway, this is just the way I am, it's never been any different, it's never going to get any better, you can decide to change that thought. Instead of throwing up your hands in horror and just looking at the mess of it all and giving up or getting angry about it, you can decide. That's what I'm talking about. That's the first step, is deciding that you're going to change a thought. You make a decision that you're willing to change. If you really want to know how stubborn you are, trust me on this, just approach that idea of being willing to change. You will immediately notice all this resistance coming up. It's the only reason why we don't heal. It's the only reason we stay stuck in places that we really don't like to be, is this resistance that I call it my inner rebel. The minute my inner rebel hears, oh, you need to do this, or you should do that, or you better do that, my inner rebel just puts a hand on the hip and says, I'm not doing that. We all have that resistance. Some call that the ego. But you know what? To notice that resistance, that's the first step to changing. Because if you don't notice the resistance, you can't do anything about it, that's for sure. And so we have to change inside if we want anything on the outside to change. And what I mean by that is anything in our body or anything in our relationships or anything in our job situation or anything at our school. If there's anything we want to change in our lives, we have to change ourselves in order for that change to happen. And the way to do that is to become willing to change. Whatever that is. And that stubborn streak that I'm talking about, that resistance, that's always a good way to start. It's like, what it makes me think of is that the difference, for me anyway, between the way I used to look at it and the way I look at it now, is that now I don't have to get mad at myself in order to notice what I'm doing that I'd rather not be doing, that I'd rather release. I no longer have to think, oh gosh, I'm a bad person and I messed that up again, just because I find something else I want to change inside. Instead, I'm grateful. I'm like, oh good, there that is. Now I can decide to change that. And so there's an exercise that we can do about being willing to change. And it's just that simple, to use that affirmation of, I am willing to change. Just start repeating that to yourself. You might actually want to touch your throat as you say that, because the throat is often the energy center in the body where change takes place, because it's where we express ourselves. It's where we have our identity in terms of our self-expression. And so to touch that throat area with your hand lightly and just say, I am willing to change. I am willing to make changes in my body. I'm willing to let this illness go. I'm willing to lose this weight. I'm willing to drop this habit. I'm willing to be healed. Whatever it is, I am willing to change. Whatever it is that I need to change in order to let this healing happen. That's what we're talking about. And thankfully, there are many, many ways to change. And we mentioned that before, of whether that's physical or emotional or spiritual. And so you can do it through, you know, physical things like Tai Chi that we mentioned earlier, or you can do it through spiritual things like prayer and meditation. You can do it through diet and nutrition. There are lots and lots of ways that we can heal ourselves. The promise is that God has provided everything needed for any problem we could possibly have. But because we have free will, it's up to us to decide to actually use it. So if we've decided that we're willing to change, and that we're going to use any and all methods that work for us, then there's a little exercise that can be really helpful. And I'm going to tell you what that is. What you do is you go and you look in a mirror and you say to yourself, I am willing to change. It will be very revealing to do that. Because when you look in that mirror and you look yourself in the eye and you say, I am willing to change, notice how you feel. If you're hesitant or resistant or you just don't want to change, ask yourself why. What old belief are you holding on to? And don't scold yourself. Don't try to make yourself wrong or bad. Just notice what it is. What belief are you holding on to? I'll bet that belief has been causing you a lot of trouble. But I wonder where it came from. Do you know? And whether you know where it came from or not, it doesn't matter, but you can dissolve it. You just go to the mirror and, looking deep into your own eyes, touch your throat and say out loud 10 times, I am willing to release all resistance to healing. Or you could just say, I am willing to release all resistance. Or you could say, I am willing to release all this resentment that I've been carrying. Or you could say, I am willing to release this belief that I am not enough. Whatever it is you discover when you look yourself in the eyes in the mirror and say, I am willing to change. Whatever you notice that comes up as a form of resistance or a belief that's holding you back, look yourself in the eye and tell yourself you're willing to release it. Mirror work is incredibly powerful. And part of the reason I think for that is that because as children, we received most of our negative messages from others actually looking us straight in the eye and maybe even shaking a finger at us. And so when we look in the mirror today, most of us will say something negative to ourselves. We either, you know, criticize our looks or tell ourselves how we messed something up. So to look yourself in the eye, in the mirror, and make a positive declaration about yourself is one of the quickest ways to get some really incredible, powerful results. Just be very careful that you don't put yourself down because you have this resistance to change. We all have that resistance. And awareness is the first step in healing. Because when we have some pattern that's buried deeply within us, we have to become aware of it before we can let it go. We have to notice it before we can heal it. So when resistance comes up, we might feel very angry about it for a moment, but then be thankful for it because it lets you know that you are already on the path to healing. It's interesting how we can heal ourselves if we're willing to. If we're willing to give up our beliefs and our assumptions. Like, you know, it wouldn't do any good to do this, or nobody would understand, or, oh my God, that's too much work, or, oh, I'm different, or, oh, I'm too flawed, or, it's just too much for me, or, nobody else would understand, or, I'm too old, or too young, or too fat, or too black, or too white, or too red, or too, you know, I'll do it later. We all have strategies that we use to let ourselves just stay right where we are. Instead of claiming that power inside of us to change. Denial, as we used to say in the 12-step programs, denial is more than a river in Egypt. Denial is just as deadly, I think, as resistance. Resistance is, I know something's wrong with me, but I can't deal with it. Denial is, nothing's wrong with me, I'm perfect. I don't have any problems, I feel good all the time. Well, you know, if you're perfectly healthy, your body works wonderfully, you have all the money in the world that you want, and everything in your life is going perfectly, then I would believe you. But if there's any challenges going on, then there is something inside of you that is yearning to be healed. And so, we're going to take a little break right there. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some more ways that you can tap into that inner divinity and actually begin healing yourself. Simple ways that we can all do that. All you need is love. Because that's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about self-love. We're talking about the love of God. We're talking about the divine love that animates the whole entire universe, including your body and your mind and mine. And that's what we're tapping into here. And I think the Beatles talked about it really, really well. And so we're going to hear how they tell you that. And I'll see you back here in a few minutes. Enjoy. Talking today about healing, and that is what healing is and where it comes from and how it happens is through love, through the power of God's love that lives in our own hearts and our having faith in that. And whether you look at the teachings of Jesus or the teachings of other prophets and sages, they all basically say the same thing. It's that it's your belief, it's your faith that actually is what heals you. And so we are specifically using a book by Louise Hay called You Can Heal Your Life. Actually, I think it's just called, yeah, that's it, You Can Heal Your Life. And throughout human history, what has sometimes been called miraculous healings have been happening. And over the last 50 to 100 years, millions of healings have happened through faith, through belief, through changing your mind and reconnecting with the God spark inside of you. And we're going to spend the last 15 minutes of this show breaking it down and telling you exactly how you can do that for yourself. How do we actually begin the healing process? The way that we do that is whenever there is any condition that we have that we want to change, the first thing we have to do is we have to say so, because we are beings of free will. And the way we do that that is most powerful is to simply say, I am willing to release the pattern within me that is creating this condition. I'm going to say that over for you again. I am willing to release the pattern within me that is creating this condition. And that way, you know, you don't have to even know what it is. You just have to be willing. And you can say this to yourself over and over every time you think of your illness or that problem. And the minute you say it, you're stepping out of that sense of being a victim, that sense of being helpless. And you are acknowledging the power of divinity within you. You are actually saying to yourself, to your body, to your mind, to the universe, I'm beginning to understand that I helped to create this, and now I'm taking my own power back, and I'm going to release this old idea and let it go, and I'm going to heal. I am willing to release the pattern within me that is creating this condition. That's the place to start. Almost all of our programming, both negative and positive, was actually accepted by us by the time we were 3 years old. I would say 75%. And by 5 years old, I'd say 90%. And by 10 years old, I'd say 99%. And we don't even know what that is, most of it. But neurology and neuroscience has actually shown that. And so it's never about blaming ourselves. That's not going to work. We didn't mean to have those patterns. They're just there. And when we notice them, we're on our way to healing. So be kind to yourself. Begin to love and approve of yourself. Because that's what that little child inside of you that learned that pattern in the first place, that's what it means to love it. And that's what it needs in order to heal. Our experiences in life and most of the illnesses or negative experiences that we have are based on what we accepted as little bitty kids. And the way that we were treated when we were very little is often the way we treat ourselves now. But remember that who you're scolding is like a three-year-old child within you. And so screaming and yelling at that kid isn't going to help. Putting an arm around it and making it feel safe and comfortable and loved. You become the adult to the hurt, wounded part inside of you. Because what was done in the past is done. It's over. There's nothing you can do about it. But right here, right now, that wounded child that still lives inside of you, that wounded place inside of you that still believes you're not enough or you're not worthy or you need to suffer, you can heal that. Because all it's about is changing a thought. And a thought can be changed. And the way to do that is to be kind to yourself. And so what we have to learn to do if we want to make that decision is, first of all, make that statement a million times a day whenever we think of the problem. I am willing to release the pattern within me that is creating this condition. Because whatever you put your attention on, that's what grows. So if we learn to think in positive thoughts instead of negative ones, then we will get further towards where we want to be instead of where we don't want to be. For example, instead of saying, I hate my job, that's not going to get you anywhere that you want to be related to your job. It may be the truth, but so what? It's just confirming and making sure it continues what you don't want. So instead of just continuing to say something that's ineffective and keeps you in a place you don't want to be, like, I hate my job, you can begin declaring, I now accept a wonderful new job. You're not saying I have one, because if you don't, then you would be lying to yourself. And in my experience, lying to ourselves never gets us anywhere good. But you can say, I now accept a wonderful new job. The trick is to make positive statements in the present tense. Don't make them in past tense. Don't make them in future tense. Make them in present tense. I am or I have. Your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference. It's just a servant to whatever you're saying. It doesn't know the difference between what's happening out there in the world and what you're just saying in your mind. So if you say something in future tense, like I want, all that means to your subconscious is you don't got it. If you say I will have it, all that means is you don't got it. So you have to say I am it, or I have it, or I accept it now. And so the real underlying bottom line to all of this, no matter what the problem is, the main focus is to love yourself. That's the magic wand. Because when we love ourselves, we're actually loving God. Because God is the heart of us, the core of us, that inner divinity that is our life. That's the power of life in us. When we love ourselves, we are loving God. And so loving yourself, it's self-replicating because it feels really good. It makes you feel good. And it's impossible to love yourself until you have self-approval and self-acceptance. That means no criticism, none. No criticism whatsoever. No matter what your objections are, no matter what your rationalization and justifications are for criticizing yourself, as long as you're doing that, it's impossible to really love yourself. It's just the mind. That's all criticism is. It's just the mind going on with the old chatter. And thankfully, you can change it. You just look in the mirror and you say, I love and approve of myself exactly as I am. Isn't that simple? It's not necessarily easy, but it sure is simple. I love and approve of myself exactly as I am. Do you believe that you deserve to have what you desire? Because if you don't, you won't allow yourself to have it. The things that seem like they're totally beyond your control will always crop up to frustrate you. So this is another mirror exercise. If that's part of the issue, look in the mirror and say, into your own eyes, I deserve to have or to be, to accept this, whatever this is. And I accept it now. I deserve to have or be whatever it is that you're wanting. Free from this illness, a back that is free of pain, a body that functions well, abundance and prosperity. I deserve to have that, to be that person, and I accept that abundance now. I accept this healing now. And then pay attention to how you feel. Notice what's going on in your body. Does it feel true? Or do you still feel unworthy? If you have any negative reactions that come up, any negative feelings in the body or any negative thoughts, then go back to that same pattern of affirming that releasing of patterns of, I release the pattern in my consciousness that is creating resistance to my good. And then begin again. I deserve. And just keep repeating that until you get those acceptance feelings, even if you have to do it several times in a row. Sometimes, you know, in my experience, and I understand this from having been a psychologist for so long, emotions are stored in the body. And so if things are actually showing up as a physical problem, then a lot of times we need to let go. We need to do some releasing on a physical level because that's where a lot of stuff gets stored subconsciously, is actually in the cells. And so letting go on a physical level can be really helpful. There used to be something called primal therapy. I don't know how many people do that anymore. But it's kind of like that where, you know, just screaming, and like if you're in your car with all your windows rolled up, that can be a really good way to release. If you felt like you've been stuck in your verbal expressions, or, you know, beating the bed or kicking a pillow, something that's harmless as a way to release pent-up anger or frustration, but also playing tennis or running. It's like I've had a lot of examples with myself and with clients where, you know, you might like have a pain in your back or in your shoulder, let's say, and it wouldn't go away no matter what you did. And finally, you know, you just might sit down and you just ask that pain in your shoulder, like, what is that? What am I feeling? Well, it feels like burning. Wow, burning. That means anger. What are you angry about? And you don't even have to be able to figure it out. You don't have to know what you're angry about. It's like if it comes up what you're angry about, well, then you might want to do some yelling and screaming about that in a really safe and private environment, of course. But if you don't know, you can find out. Just put some pillows on the bed and begin to beat them with a lot of energy. And after a few minutes, you probably are going to know exactly what you're angry about. And then you can release that. It's all about releasing the past programming. It's all about loving yourself. I am willing to let go resistance to change. I am willing to allow myself to be healed. I am willing to have faith. I am willing to release my resentment, my anger, my judgments. That's really how healing happens. It happens by what you believe. It happens by faith. If you believe you can be healed, you probably can. If you believe you cannot be healed, you probably can't. That's how powerful your beliefs are. And so, whether you're doing it on a physical level, an emotional level, a mental level, a spiritual level, you have the power within you no matter how you go about it. And it begins with loving yourself enough to notice what's true for you inside of you, to accept it without judgment, without criticism, and to say, oh, look at that. I hate that, or I am in judgment of that, or, oh, I'm doing that. And then say, I am willing to release that, and I am willing to feel whole. I am willing to be healed. Because, you know, God is inside of you. And through that power, everything is healed. And we're going to close out the show today with my favorite song by Faith Rivera. I started the show with it, too. It says, God is. Because wherever you are, God is. And that's what's healing. And I'll see you back here next week. I'm looking forward to it. Have a great day.